The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Sound okay in the back? Yeah. So a few reflections on perfectionism, failure, and loving kindness. It's a lot for 15 minutes, but so on the one hand, there are very high aspirations for this path and grand language around enlightenment and the potentials of freedom. And in fact, we even have the ten perfections, right? But this is not a perfectionistic path. And failure is important, actually. So manifestations of perfectionism, in our normal kind of non-meditation practice lives shows up in lots of different ways of exceedingly high demands we place on ourselves, for harshness in relation to ourselves, or kind of a ruthless discipline. In this way, this kind of perfectionistic style, we're sort of perpetually fending off failure and disappointment. And this mind pattern shows up a lot in our spiritual practice, right? It's not like we leave our habits at the door once we walk into IMC, right? It's like, no, how we practice meditation is how we do the rest of our life, right? There, and so the opportunity with meditation practice is that we actually can see how we do everything. And so in the realm of meditation, the perfectionism usually shows up, I see it most in myself and others, as a kind of a real, an intense striving and a lot of evaluation, like a constant sort of form of evaluation of checking in on progress. Spiritual materialism and sort of benchmarking where we are. The perfectionism makes us invariably, like, leads us to compare ourselves, not just in relation to other, to some ideals, but to other practitioners too. And so we look for the habit of perfectionism and self-harshness. We look for it, and sometimes it's such a foundational habit in the mind that we don't even see it. It blends into the world. The view is blends into the world. And so it's like we have to see some of our deep habits in our peripheral vision. And I know in seeing some of the ways that I can be harsh with myself, it's like there are just these short windows of opportunity when I can have a clear view of it. Most of the time, it sort of just feels like the way things are and the way things should be. And then there it's punctuated by these glimpses into a habit that's really had a pretty fundamental impact on my life. So we can notice the ways in which perfectionism tucks us deeper into the corner of our minds and is a cause of some sense of separation. This path is a path, maybe we could say a path of connection, a path into deeper connection with ourself, deeper connection with the human condition. And the habit, the habits around perfectionism and the harshness that is a part of that is one of separation and distancing. So part of the antidote actually is welcoming and practicing failing, which doesn't sound like good advice, but this is Norman Fisher who said this. It's hard being a human being. There's a lot to it. There really is. So I want to say in conclusion, let's all agree to accept the reality that we're not going to be able to do a very good job of this. There's too much to do. Isn't it a relief to know that it's not all going to work out? And you can just forget about that part to start with. You're not going to get it right. You're not going to get it perfect. Well, don't worry. Just remember that there's no hope. But the important thing is, despite this and recognizing and embracing this reality, don't worry about finishing the job or doing it perfectly, but start, you see? Start and continue. This is the thing. You can really trust that if you will start and if you will continue with commitment, that will be enough. And so we can give up on our spiritual life looking all polished and, you know, buttoned up and having no loose ends. And this is a real relief. We are learning, of course, to make progress, to train ourselves to become more and more free. But it's indispensable in this process is the experience of failing well, of beginning again. Beckett says, "Ever tried, ever failed, no matter, try again. Fail again, fail better." If we're not comfortable with failing, quote failing, we won't continue practicing. Or the way in which we'll practice will be distorted by our insistence on success. There's a story I heard from Michelle McDonald, a Vipassana teacher, a lovely teacher, and she has real strong connections with Burma and teaches there and has practiced a lot there. And there was one retreat, a cook who would cook on the retreats where she would practice and teach. And she told this story of being so moved by the generosity and spirit of this cook and touched by the dignity and care with which he served, and having a really strong impulse to do something nice for him. And she learned that he needed some kind of musical equipment. And I don't remember whether it was an amplifier or speaker system, something. So anyway, she does all this research and figures out what's going to be the right thing, you know, just the thing that he needs, and as an expression of her appreciation of his service. And so she buys it, I think, in the States, and carries it with her, you know, flying to Burma, and she gets it and is really you know, is like delighted by the idea of giving this gift to the cook. And it turns out she got the wrong thing. You know, it was the wrong whatever. And so, you know, she's really feels badly, and, you know, sorrow about you know, doing the wrong thing. And she wants to explain this to him, and, you know, I know this isn't right, and I think she presents it and is explaining that, you know, I know this was the wrong thing. And his response to her was, Michelle, it's such a good mistake. And I come back to that line often. It's, you know, and even the tone I can hear in her voice, Michelle, that's such a good mistake. So we're moving from a model of an accomplishment and success into a model of learning from life, of being open to what's being offered to us. And one of the ways that we soften in relation to failure is metta. Failure, in some sense, is just, we're just touching into the first noble truth. We just touch that very tenderly, and we can sense something very, very innocent about our being, something before success and failure, or something beneath success and failure. We can actually use our life and the stumbles and failures as a way of softening the heart and of actually reconnecting with something like innocence. Once for New Year's Eve, you know how people make resolutions, and this is some years ago, but my resolution was manifest failure and rejection. And that was actually my goal that year. And I did pretty good. And of course, the goal was because I don't want to have my heart impinged, and because I'm so concerned about failing and looking stupid, whatever my mind says. So it's like we take these gradual doses, like digestible doses of, quote, failure, as a way of becoming more free. And the practice will give us ample opportunities. So, yeah, may we all fail well.